Guess you thought nobody was coming. Stuff fell off. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let's begin reading with the verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you today that we are able to worship you, that we're able to uplift you, uplift your name and sing praises to you, and show you from our hearts our thankfulness for all that you have done for us. For all that you have saved us, you have brought us through our Christian lives, and one day we will see you face to face, and you receive the honor and the glory and the blessing and the power because you are the Lamb that was slain. Lord, we pray that you will help us to understand and apply the scriptures to our individual hearts. In Christ's name, amen. One thing about the Christian life is that we experience hardship. Churches experience hardship. Individuals experience hardship. But there is good news, because the Bible tells us that we can turn hardship into blessing. When God gets involved, God turns our hardship into a blessing, not only for our own individual lives, but those that are around us. Many in the Bible experienced hardship. We think of Job. Job, who didn't see it coming. And it came to him very quickly and severely, losing his children, losing all that he had, losing his health. And yet, after he went through all the hardship, it was turned into a blessing for him. We look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, how that he suffered so much. There was so much hardship. The Bible tells us that he was beaten, that he was stoned, left for dead. He was persecuted. Here in this scripture, he's writing from jail. He is being persecuted. He sees the hardship that he is experiencing, that the church of God is experiencing. And yet, when you look at hardship in the Bible, and when God is finished with that hardship, a blessing comes. A blessing. Maybe it's growth in the individual lives. Maybe it's to show a person something that is needful in his life that needs to change. There's many reasons for hardship. Hardship can happen just because we live in this world in which we live. Hardship comes because of people. There's a lot of different reasons that we face hardship. It's not a bed of roses to be a Christian or to be a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. But the good news is today that hardship can be turned into blessing. Verses 12 to 18 tells us that we need to master our circumstances. We need to master our circumstances. One day Jesus said, it's hard for people to get saved because they don't respond to the Word of God. They don't view me, who I really am. And the disciples, as Jesus was describing people that were blessed financially, they said, how can people get saved? Because they viewed that if you were blessed financially, then God's blessing was all over you and all over your life. However, Jesus said, people trust in riches rather than the salvation that I have provided for them. And then he made the statement, with men, some things are possible, but with God, all things are possible. Through God, you can master your circumstances. Another way of saying it, don't let your circumstances control you. Circumstances can be so wishy-washy. It can be good one moment and then bad the next. It can be good for a while and then turn bad for a while. It can seem like it turns bad forever. Circumstances change. And we often don't see circumstances when they're on their way and they are bad. We don't see it coming. In New Jersey, a driver was driving his Jeep down the road. He saw, just with a split second, a loose tire that came and crashed into his vehicle. It evidently left the trash truck in which it was being carried, and then it started bouncing down the road. The car in front of this man, it just glanced and went over top of the car, but it hit his windshield. Just like that tire that seems to come out of nowhere, our circumstances can come and we don't know that it's coming. Sometimes we are not prepared. We do not trust in God as we should, and we respond with panic. The Apostle Paul, in these verses, was in jail. That's a very difficult place to be in. He was chained. This was not a pleasant circumstance. But he looked at his circumstance and said, wait a minute, there's a blessing there. There's a blessing that can come even when the circumstances of life are bad. He looked and saw that even though he was in jail, the gospel was going forth. The gospel. People were being saved by God. In verse 12, he said it was for the furtherance of the gospel. The word furtherance means a cutting forward, a progress, an advance. The Word of God, as Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit said in the Old Testament, God said, my word will not return to me void. It's going to accomplish what I have sent it out to accomplish. The Apostle Paul, can you imagine him in chains? He's in the palace. That's the residence of a Roman official at Rome or elsewhere. They called that the palace. However, in this circumstance, it seems to be that it was the Praetorian Guard that was guarding Paul. In Rome itself, the elite corps who guarded the imperial complex. He would have guards that would be chained beside him. And they would take turns, take shifts. Then Paul would talk to them about the gospel. He used a bad circumstance to glorify God. He let God master his circumstances. All throughout, the scriptures tell us in verse 13 that the gospel went out. It spread throughout the palace, throughout the city. Servants, officials. He was in some quarters where people could come and visit him. What did he do? He shared the gospel. Paul's witness. In verse 14, we're told that others took notice. They waxed confident by the bonds of Paul. Because he was in jail, they waxed confident in God. They became bold in their spread of the gospel. And they did so without fear. Fear is often the thing that causes us not to spread the gospel. However, because Paul was in a bad circumstance, he gave glory to God, and he was determined that the circumstance was not going to control him. And of course, that comes with the help of God. You can't stand up against your circumstances. The Bible says we are like the dust. God knows our frame. He knows what we can handle. The Bible tells us the good news that he will not allow anything too hard for us to handle to enter into our lives. But Paul mastered his circumstance. As a result, in verses 15 to 17, two groups of people formed. These groups looked at Paul's imprisonment. Group one preached Christ sincerely. They were encouraged. Did you know that people are watching as you respond to circumstances? They want to see Christ in you. These people preached Christ sincerely, in truth, in goodwill. And they did so because they loved Paul, and they loved the gospel, and they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a second group formed. They preached Christ in a pretending way, impure motives. They were envious and jealous of Paul. There was a rivalry there. There was contention with a partisan spirit, a selfish ambition. The two groups. Paul said, God be glorified because the gospel is still being spread. Let's determine that the circumstances of our church, the circumstances of those that we love, the circumstances in our lives, let's give it to God. God is the master of circumstances. You remember Jesus, who told his disciples, I want you to get over and go to the other side of the sea. Well, they went. He went into a mountain to pray. And then they started rowing. And as it happens in the land of Israel, a storm came. And they were trying their best. They were working hard so they would not die. Then we see Jesus walking across the water, walking on the water. And he entered the boat. Of course, Peter tried to walk on the water. He did for a while until he looked at his circumstances and said, I'm fearful of my circumstances. Jesus said, peace, be still. We've got a mighty Savior who knows what you are going through. He knows what I am going through. He knows and he cares. He loves. He knows the number of hairs on your head. When you take that shower and some of it comes out. Or this year you've got a certain number and then next year you don't have as many. Jesus knows the exact number. Now you multiply that times all the people in the world. What a great God we've got. He's the master of circumstances. So be determined. I'm going to turn my heart over to Jesus Christ. He can take care of my circumstances. I'm going to try my best as a human being to turn it into a blessing with the help of God. Now, verse 19. How to turn hardship into blessing? Use your resources. Use the resources that you have. Verse 19 mentions prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is effective in describing Elijah. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You're in hardship this morning? God is able. He is able. pray. Turn your heart over to talking with God. You may say that He already knows what you need before you ask, and that is a promise from Jesus Christ, but He still wants us to communicate with Him. Communication shows love. If you had somebody that never talked with you, you would assume that they probably don't love you. But you see a husband and a wife, or even a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they constantly want to be together and talk with one another and communicate. When you communicate to God, you get the burden that's on your shoulders and you give it to God. Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That is a resource that if you wake up tonight with a heavy heart and it's 2 a.m., you can talk to God. You find yourself at work and there's that burden there. You're doing your work, you're doing your job, and for a while perhaps the burden, the thought goes away, but then it keeps coming back. Give it to God. What a resource that is. Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Another thing is mentioned. The resource of a full supply of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have Almighty God to go to for help. You can't beat that. The God that has created the universe, the beautiful stars. Perhaps you've gone out into the country. It's harder to see in the city where you see a lot of lights in the city. You can't quite see the sky as well. But you get in your car and you go out to where there's no city lights. I tell you, some of those country roads can be awfully dark. Very dark, especially when they have no lights out there. You can look up and see the stars, perhaps as you've never seen them before. The God that created that. And the light years they talk about. How the stars are so many light years, thousands, millions of light years away. It's mind-blowing that the God that created that, you go to the city and you see what man has been able to do. Building the beautiful buildings. You can give credit to God for giving man the knowledge and know-how to build the city. You go into the sea. Sometimes it's amazing to look at all the fish, all the things that God has created. Sometimes man is able to go down in the deeper part of the ocean. And there are some fish that to us we have never seen. And they are very unusual looking. However, there is a God in heaven that created that. The beauty of creation. If God can create something like that, and then if a God can tell you that He knows what's going on in your life, He knows your burden, what a resource. The Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. He's there. He's available. Turning hardship into blessing. Verse 20 tells us to focus
our expectation. We have an earnest expectation, which means we are eager. We are watching with intent at what God is going to do. We have hope. We have so much hope. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will withhold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the verses just go on and on, describing our hope, our confident expectation that God is going to take care of all matters and that he will do what he has promised that he will do. That brings glory to himself. Paul said, because I have such an expectation, in nothing I shall be ashamed. I will never be put to shame as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Another way that we can turn hardship into blessing. Verse 20 speaks of magnifying the Lord. Things come our way, and they seem to be terrible, but because God is there, it ends up producing something wonderful. In South Carolina, a deputy pulled over a lady who was speeding. She explained that the reason she was speeding was that her 12-day-year-old baby had stopped drinking and stopped breathing. So the deputy took the baby's limp body, used first aid, CPR, and he was able to get the baby to breathe again. Something terrible, it seemed. What's this lady speeding for? The lady looked and said, my baby. If we don't get the baby to the hospital, the baby's going to die. He was able to save the baby. Many times we look at circumstances and we say, oh, we're in big trouble. How are we going to handle the situation? When God comes in, he is magnified. Paul said, because of God, and the fact that we can magnify him in any circumstance, we can have boldness of speech. We can magnify the Lord. The word magnify means, of course, to make large, but it also means to praise, to glorify God. Glorify God through the fire. The Bible is so full of promises. The Bible says that the floods may come, but the floods are not going to overtake you. You have a God in heaven that no matter what it is that you're facing, whether it's individual, a group of people, a nation, God can be magnified because God is great. Verse 21, see your purpose in life. Christ is the very meaning of life. Our relationship and our service of Christ is the motive for all that we do. Paul said, I'm kind of facing a decision where I'd like to go to heaven and I'd like to stay here and I'm being torn. I'd love to go to heaven, but it may be more needful, my purpose, to stay and experience the fruit of labor in verse 22. He said, for to me to live is Christ. That's the very meaning of life. And to gain and to die is gain. Gain means a benefit, an advantage. Negatively, we can look at it as being free from our burdens and afflictions of this life. Trouble will not last forever. God's on the throne, and God is going to make things as He desires. Positively, when you're looking at death, you get to see Jesus Christ. What a meeting that's going to be. I'm not sure any of us know how we're going to react. Are we going to be so happy to see Him that we run up and hug Him? Or are we going to be so overcome that we're not able to get off of our feet? That's gain. But until that time, see your purpose. God has a purpose for you going through whatever it is that you're going through. His purpose is to live for Christ. Verses 22 to 24. Demonstrate your submissiveness. He pretty much said, whatever God desires is what I desire. I desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I desire to die bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed, and we must demonstrate to God that we love Him. Verse 24, view your necessity. For Paul, it was necessary for him to live in the flesh. If you're not dead yet, that means that God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for everyone, for you, because you've got a race to finish. You've still got a work to do. For others, they need you. They need you in their lives. They need you as an example of who a Christian is. They need you so that you can be a blessing to them. Changing hardship into a blessing. Verses 25 to 26. Use your confidence. If you abide, you stay on the earth. If you continue, you stay here with all. The furtherance and joy of faith is mentioned. Joy will go along with the progress in the faith. There is rejoicing because there is confidence in Christ. And He is our reason for living. He's our reason for rejoicing because He is the Savior who loves us. You may not be experiencing pain, Praise God. Draw yourself close to Him. You may be experiencing pain today. You may have hardship. But know that God knows about it. And with God, you and God can change hardship into a blessing for yourself and for those that are around you. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for your help because so many times we look at our circumstances and that's where we put our focus. Help us to put our focus on you as in the book of Revelation chapters 4 and 5 where you're seated on the throne, as in Isaiah chapter 6 where you're high and lifted up. This morning's message does not take anything away from the pain and how bad it is. But it does encourage us that there is a God who cares, who knows, who helps, who heals. Thank you for being our God and for revealing the truth to us. We're so blessed with the truth. Thank you that you sent your Son to die, to be buried and to be resurrected so that our salvation can take place in our lives because we can't save ourselves. We look to you as the Savior of the world. In Christ's name, amen.
If you'll stand with me one more time and open your hymn books to hymn number 24.